Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 304 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my good friend, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Robot. This is the odd episode that actually features robots. So I feel like you'll be particularly well-equipped to discuss tonight's episode.
Oh, I guess.
I mean, I hate to profile like that, but, you know, sometimes it works.
Yeah, that is a little racist, a little bit.
It was such a tiny bit racist, and I apologize.
Kind of like this movie, tiny bit racist.
Yeah, just, you know, you can have a little bit of racism as a treat. But this week on the show, since our part of the world finally got a tiny little bit of snow, and it's probably going to be the only snow we see all season, I felt like it was a good time to talk about Jack Frost. No, not that one.
No, not that one either.
No, the other one. No. The other one. Yeah, that one. Because we have talked about a Jack Frost on this podcast before. Twice, in fact. The 97 Killer Snowman horror film, Jack Frost, and its sequel, which I think we might be the only podcast on the internet that will endorse the sequel over the original. Because, John, do you remember Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman?
I remember it was worse, and that made it better.
Yes, it was hackier and sillier and a lot dumber, and that made it so much fun. And none of that applies to this episode, this thing we watched tonight, but I will go ahead and say it's on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it. Jack Frost 2 is a good, good time.
Yeah, and as for the Michael Keaton Jack Frost, man, if you want me to watch that, fuck off. I'll hire someone on Fiverr to watch it for me and do the podcast.
If you want to PayPal us some money to do that, we would do it.
That's a thought, actually. What if we just kind of outsource the podcast to Fiverr?
I mean, I don't know. Could we put that kind of thing on Angie's List? Would that work? Could we get a couple of, like, handymen to just come over and watch the movie for us and podcast it for us?
Just do it on Fiverr, get different people every week.
You know, I'm sure somebody would love that idea. But no, barring any unforeseen influx of cash, we will not be discussing the Michael Keaton Jack Frost anytime soon. However, that does not preclude us from talking about another ridiculous Rankin-Bass thing, which is what we did this week. So from 1979, this is the second of two animated Christmas specials that Rankin-Bass put out in 1979, Jack Frost. The first thing that I'll say right off the bat, I am baffled this did not come out on Groundhog Day. First of all, it's narrated by the Groundhog. Pardon me, Pete, is what his name is. I guess because Punxsutawney Phil either wasn't a thing yet or was somehow copyrighted.
My guess is going to be that the writers didn't know Punxsutawney Phil and also didn't really have a way to look it up and also didn't care enough to look it up.
But, I mean, a quick look, you know, Punxsutawney Phil as a thing apparently dates back to at least 1887. So he was nearly a century old when this came out. So there's really no excuse then. I don't know. Where do we want to start with Jack Frost? Because it's a pretty typical Rankin-Bass thing, but there are some very strange things going on in it.
Let's start with a cast list real quick.
Okay.
So we got Buddy Hackett's doing the Groundhog.
Yes.
And Paul Frees is doing Kubla Kraus, which you know that because Kubla Kraus sounds literally exactly like Boris Badenov.
Yes, and Paul Frees also voices Father Winter, who sounds exactly like the disembodied voice from the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Speaking of Haunted Mansions, Don Messick does Snip.
Now, who is Don Messick?
That is the voice of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, dang, you're right. Okay, yeah. And apparently he's also the original voice of Zorak on Space Ghost. The 60s Space Ghost.
And also, the incredibly stereotypical Russian dad is known by Larry Storch, who's just another one of those names that's always floating around through random middling quality 70s and 80s shit.
Yeah, like, if you're part of our generation who is, like, the last generation to grow up watching old cartoons from the 60s and 70s, you know that name. Like, even if it's just in passing, like, Larry Storch is just kind of familiar to you.
The main place I know the name Larry Storch from is that on Married with Children, Kelly went to the Larry Storch School of Acting.
Okay.
We have Deborah Klinger does Elisa, just another random person from the 1670s, not really sticking out.
Yeah, she's one of those people, I guess. And then
the other one to note, the reporter from the beginning was an actual, like, big time reporter. So that seemed very, very strange to me, not knowing the context of just, like, this very weird, very particular. You can tell he looks like somebody, even if you don't know who he looks like. You can just tell, like, that's supposed to be someone I'm supposed to know, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
Dave Garraway. Yeah, Dave Garraway is his name. He was an actual reporter. So yeah, I mean, you got a couple of, like, for the time relevant names, and then just a couple of standbys, basically. So it's pretty middle of the pack. There's no real weird stunt casting like you'd see sometimes, where it's just
the stuntiest of stunt casting is Buddy Hackett, really.
Yeah,
but that's about as far as it gets. Because he's a human groundhog, so that works out pretty well for him. But then you got Robert Morse, who voices Jack Frost, and, like, you know, kids today still know who that is, but he voices Santa Claus on Teen Titans Go, and has for at least 5 years. So there's that as well. But, you know, even Robert Morse, he's been around since the 50s doing, you know, various animated shows, appearing on sitcoms here and there. So this is, like, a very rich cast of, like, TV veterans, basically.
Yeah, it's people that are competent at their jobs, and that's all you're really asking for, and that's all you're really going to get, I think.
Right. I mean, it's not like Rankin Bass got so big and popular in the 60s and 70s that they could start pulling in, like, stunt casting, like you said, like, with name actors. Like, you're not going to get a Robert Redford or a Dustin Hoffman in these kinds of things, but you get good quality TV people.
Oh, I'm just imagining like Blue Velvet Dennis Hopper doing voices now.
Oh god. Just put Frank Booth in here. Replace any random character as Frank Booth. Oh jeez. Ugh.
And Kubla Kraus is now Frank Booth.
Everyone hates him, therefore he is a robot, the robot king. Hey, let's talk about Kubla Kraus. Well, let's talk about the general plot of this Jack Frost short. So this is the story of how Jack Frost, the winter sprite who brings winter to all the land, decides he's going to become a real boy, become a real human, and try to woo a young woman living in January Junction. And he has to thwart Kubla Kraus as the ruler of town in order to be a real boy, basically. It's kind of sort of the plot of City of Angels.
Lord.
Because he's basically like a winter ghost who falls in love with a human woman and decides to give up his ghosthood so that he can become a real person and fall in love and you know, live happily ever after until the bad thing happens. The bad thing in this case is she's not hit by a bus or a truck. She's kidnapped by a robot horse, a living man on a robot horse, which might be my new favorite thing I've ever seen in any cartoon. So now that I've mentioned that, let's talk about Kubla Kraus for a minute.
Sure.
Kubla Kraus, first of all, an amazing name, but he's the leader of the Cossacks. And he has taken control over January Junction. But all of the Cossacks are either dead and gone or hate his guts. So instead of leading any Cossacks, he is the leader of a robot army. And he leads them on his robot horse.
It's one of those things where it's like basically like German, Russian, Mongolian. They're all basically the same fucking thing, right?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Like, it's... I don't want to say it's, like, racist towards East Asia, because that's a painting with an extremely broad brush, but that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about racism in this movie, we'll get into that in a little fucking bit, don't worry. But, like, he's the king of the Cossacks, but he... And he talks in a very stereotypical Russian accent, because he's fucking Boris Badenov. Mm-hmm. Yet he's named Kublai Kraus.
So you're marrying like Mongolian and German at the same time.
Yeah, so it's like Russian and the Mongolian, and then a lot of the weird nonsensical words he says are, it's kind of Russian and German kind of mashed together a little bit, because the fake currency they have, which is 1/100th of a penny, is a kaputnik.
Yeah, and the real sad thing is, when winter comes, when Jack Frost brings winter, people can afford to buy goods and services in the town, because they pay in ice money, which is literal money carved from ice blocks. And when it's not winter, they are all poorer than shit. And that's terrible.
My other thought was, there's plenty of scenes of, like, woodland creatures frolicking in the winter wonderland, which is like, I'm just like, all those animals are starving. That's why they're not hibernating. Yeah, they're still like trying to find food.
That's true. But also, I mean, you can't just have I mean, that's like a fault of animation. Like, you can't have a dead winter snowscape, because then, you know, where are the animals? Where's the liveliness? What are you going to animate? So you have to force the situation that these animals are starving to death to get something fun in your children's animation.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you don't have, like, woodland creatures frolicking, how do kids know it's a fun time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like whenever you see an air conditioner in a cartoon or a film, and there's always like the little streamers flying out from the air conditioner to show you that the air conditioner is turned on, because otherwise you would never know. Good Lord. These little animation tricks that you learn, you know, as visual shorthand for the things that we all implicitly understand.
And I guess it's also one of those fun things, it's almost like the Munsters, where Elisa, she is just like, oh, I'm Elisa, I'm a wonderful little American woman, and her parents are just like, hello, I am the Russian.
But I want to talk about, just for a minute, like this idea that of ice money, of how people, like, the town is flush with cash in the winter because of Jack Frost and because of ice and snow. And I feel bad for this town when the effects of global warming take effect, and or rather take hold, and this town is suddenly destitute 12 months out of the year instead of 9. I guess the concept of ice money is going to go nowhere, because John doesn't want to play ball with me here.
it's just one of those things where it's just like, it's up there with, like, you know, oh, we are so poor, we have to eat dirt.
Well, it's like they're trying to make that like the magic of winter, of Christmas. Like, oh, ice money is how we buy goods and services in the winter time, and that's how we can afford a Christmas for everybody. Which is not how that works, but also like is also directly contradicted in the cartoon when you see everybody like sitting around the table passing the same empty box back and forth and pretending. I mean, they're having imagination Christmas, is what it is.
Yeah,
like,
and it's
like Rod and Todd.
It is really frustrating, because it's just like, y'all could just not be fucking capitalists for a little bit. Then you won't have to worry about having to find ice money. Like, you could just give each other shit because you need it.
Yeah, just out of the goodness of your hearts. You don't have to do this thing that we do. This is not their... I don't know. They could just not have imagination Christmas and just... not lie to themselves, you know.
No, I'm more getting mad about the ice money now. It's like, oh, we need ice money to buy things. Like, you could just fucking not charge each other. Like, you're giving this ice money to each other. Nope, nobody from the outside's taking ice money. So it's a fucking capitalism cargo cult.
Yeah, and also the ice money dries up when Jack Frost like renounces his powers, right? And that's why they have to have imagination Christmas. Because there's no ice around, because Jack Frost is now a human boy.
Yeah, Jack Frost ruined everything.
So Jack Frost did this to all of them. He ruined their economy by being a greedy son of a bitch who wants to be a real boy.
Specifically because he is pining after some woman who doesn't know who he is. So, I mean, basically Jack Frost is just trying to get his frozen dick wet, and that ruins everything.
He's trying to thaw out his icy frozen dick. Ugh. Well, then I guess let's get into the real meat on the racist bones of this animated short.
And I will be fair to this. This wasn't any more racist than anything else given its time, but just in retrospect, it's like double yikes, pretty much.
Yeah, and we're talking about the snow gypsies, right?
Yes.
Because Jack Frost goes up to the I don't know what you call it, the Sky Kingdom, where Father Winter lives. And we see, like, the industrial complex of Winter.
Yeah, which, again, is one of those things where a lot of children's programming from this time, especially from this, like, caliber, has this thing where, like, oh, no, we need to over-explain this and make this into a complicated bullshit business, because how else are toddlers going to understand it?
Yeah, how else are three-year-olds going to know where hail comes from?
Yeah, and then there's the Sleet Sisters and the Snow Gypsies and the one special Snow Gypsy who only does Christmas snow and all of this. And it's like, if you're going to go through all the fucking trouble to, like, explain where all this shit comes from, just have it be one guy with a big machine that he spins the dial on.
Yeah, really. You know, and then they introduced Snip, who's the one, like, snow elf who makes all the snow by basically cutting them with scissors individually, which must be time consuming, right?
Yeah, and they, like, call him up and they're like, we need 10 million snowflakes for Minneapolis tomorrow.
It's like, okay, well, I guess so. And he sets back to work meticulously carving one snowflake at a time.
He's just like, oh, well, I'll retire when I'm dead.
This fucking thing, man.
Part of the problem is that we are actually trying to make this make fucking sense, especially in, like, today's kind of sociopolitical realm. But at the same time, it's just like, all of this, it's just baffling. All of this shit, the movie is just like, the writers are just, oh, well, yeah, this makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make money out of ice. Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy that does hail, a guy that does sleet, a guy that does the Christmas snow, a guy that does the frost on the windows. Yeah. They got a guy for everything.
Yeah. They got a guy for everything. Yeah. And also, like, it's just, well, what it really is we are taking the time to pick this thing apart because that's what we do, but also, they made this thing so quick, I feel, that, like, it was just, like, one of those, everybody's got a deadline, and we got to finish this by five kind of things. Like, just crank it out, churn it out, put it out. Nobody cares. Nobody will care. They probably thought this was going to air once and then disappear into the ether.
Yeah.
But no, because the long arm of the internet drags everything back into the sunlight. And, you know, AMC has the license to show this every year at Christmas time for some god-awful reason.
And they fucking do.
And they fucking do. Like, they, according to Wikipedia, they did it as recently as 2019. So last Christmas, which, again, is baffling to me because this is being narrated by the Groundhog Day Groundhog. They should have run this like 2 weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure they didn't, which is a missed opportunity if you ask me. But also, even when this came out, you know, this aired December 13th, 1979. Okay, that's...
I mean,
why?
This is just like the Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, where it's just, what other holiday can we mash with Christmas? Because we ran out of things to say about Christmas. Let's start mashing other holidays into it.
Right. But the fact that, that too came out at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So, and the only thing I can think is, you know, the only thing that I can think is that they ran these at Christmas because, well, no one's ever heard of a Groundhog Day special before, which, who gives a shit? Just put it on TV.
Why the fuck did you make one then?
Yeah, why did you make one and put it out at Christmas? Ugh. Like, now we're just getting into, like, the economy of Christmas specials, and it's, I mean, our whole thing is that Christmas is all year round because that's just welcome to hell world. So why not? But also, they did this. They already did this 41 years ago. But they didn't air it in February, and I'm just baffled. Like, they put in all the legwork to do it, and then they didn't do it. I don't know, man. But I feel like we should move away from this now, because we're just getting depressed. But let's go back to Kubla Kraus for a minute, because I'm just fascinated by this man, who is so terrible that not only do none of his Cossacks want to follow him, but he's so terrible that he A, rides a metal steampunk horse whose name is, I got it here, Clang Stumper.
Yeah.
Which I was really expecting to be more of a character in this thing than he was. It's not a character, it's just a horse. But he also has a robot butler who looks an awful lot like Bender named Fetch Kvetch, which, again, is a one-scene character who does not have any character or lines or anything. And then his 1,000 Iron Knights, which are named the... It's consistently pronounced Knights. Like, they pronounce the K.
And their names are all like Canute, Knave.
Yeah.
Just stupid shit like that. And also, I'll say, the robot butler, more looking at Bender, looks like the washing machine humping robot from Robot Chicken.
Yeah, okay, I can see that too. Like, I just immediately went to Bender, I guess, because that's all robots to me are Bender.
That's racist.
Yeah. Like, all video games are Nintendo and all robots are Bender. So, but then the last piece of this Krauss puzzle is a robot puppet friend named Dummy that Krauss talks to and uses for his own confirmation bias at all times because he's so incredibly lonely. And I don't know, the more time we spend with this character, the more I like him. And then we get that song from Kubla Kraus about how he should be the leader of the Cossacks and he's not. And he could have been, how does the song go?
He's like, I could have been a pharaoh, but there's no pyramids around here. I could have been a shogun, but there's no samurai around here.
And the chorus is always, well, that's the rub. And like, sure, this is a song that was probably tossed off in 5 minutes, but also I enjoy it from the sheer
we haven't had a song in 45 seconds. What can we do? Because this is one of those specials where there's more time singing than not singing, especially at the start.
Right. And so much of the singing feels like they're just playing the music and forcing the actors to come up with lines on the spot. And it's that kind of singing for like 45 minutes. But this was one that's just, I don't know. Everything about Kubla Kraus, I just find charming. Because he's such an ineffectual, kind of sad little villain. And the only really evil thing he does is kidnap Elisa.
Yeah, but and even still, he is like very easily defeated by one knight.
Yeah, he's easily defeatable by one knight and really just winter in general. Like, so okay. the film's final gambit is that Jack Frost has to stop Kubla Kraus from ruining Elisa, and I'm just gonna say it's King Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins, because that's what he looks like.
Yeah, well, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. So what happens is Jack is so horny for Elisa that he goes up to Father Winter and is like, hey, I want to quit my job and be human so I can go plow Elisa. And Father Winter is like, okay, I will give you one winter to become human. All you have to do is you have to do all the normal human things, which are 1, get a house, 2, get a horse, 3, get a whole bag of gold, and 4, get a wife. You know, those things humans do.
Yeah, those things humans do definitely still do. I, for one, have still yet to find a horse, but that's my problem.
I just need a bag of gold.
Yeah, but I mean, so Jack goes to town and is like, well, there's no houses here so I'll make one. Well, Kubla Kraus owns all the resources in town, so you can't make one. Okay, well, I guess I need to get a bag of gold. Well, Kubla Kraus has all the gold. Like, he has the gold, he has the house, and he has the horse. So, gee, I wonder what Jack's going to do.
Yeah, so they decide the next day they're going to go up. And then for whatever reason, Father Winter is like, oh, Jack's going to get himself killed if he does this alone. Hey, Snips and Holly, you're going to go help.
Yeah.
You're human too. Fuck off. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Holly doesn't even have a character. It's just a tiny little thing that sits on Snip's shoulders.
So they go and try to break into the castle, completely, utterly fail because it's on top of a mountain. Then, what's the knight's name?
Sir Ravino.
Sir Ravino Wrightfellow.
Yes.
Who's one of Arthur's knights, apparently. Shows back up in town and is just like, oh, well, I came back to town to say, hi, everybody, I'm from here. And also, I need to get my cape fixed, and I guess there's no tailors literally anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I can do that. I can tailor that for you.
Yeah, Jack is pretending to be a tailor because he has Snips' scissors.
Mm-hmm.
And so... At this point, then Elisa gets kidnapped, right?
Right, yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just marvel at the fact that Ravenel Wrightfellow was one of Arthur's knights, and he apparently has his summer or his winter home in the westernmost edge of Russia. I do kind of like that. But yeah, so Elisa gets kidnapped because that's what you do.
And then Jack and Snips are going back and still trying to like run up the side of a mountain, while Sir Reginald just basically shoots his Batman grappling gun up there and climbs up.
How does he get those wonderful toys?
Because he has real money instead of fucking ice money. That's how.
Because he has real boy money. Yeah. Ugh. But then Jack and Snip get caught by the robot knights and are put in the dungeon, while the 1,000 robot knights are sent down the mountain to destroy Ravenel and Elisa's wedding, which
destroy the entire town.
The entire town. But the wedding is slated to happen at 12 noon on the first note of spring.
Yeah, these people, for being dirt poor peasants, somehow have a very strong sense of what time of day it is.
Well, I mean, you can look straight up and see the sun is in the sky. So
it's like, the sun's over there. Yeah, it's like 8:15 p.m.
Well, also, any idiot can build a sundial. You just put a stick sideways in the ground. So, I'll give them
that
one.
They can't afford sticks.
Oh, that's right.
Krause has all the timber.
Krause has all the sticks. Krause is also a wood man on top of being a brick and gold man. I forgot about that. He has all the cards in the Catan set for this town. And he's going to also build the biggest road. But yeah, so the final gambit of this film is that Jack Frost has to renounce his humanity and become Jack Frost again so that he can make it winter to keep Krause's fortress under ice and snow and also block his 1,000 knights from destroying this wedding.
The melting snow manages to collapse part of the castle on Kubla Krause, which knocks him out, to which Jack takes dummy and is like, oh, all of you knights, you should jump off the edge of the cliff.
And they do!
And... Yeah, they fucking do.
Ugh.
And then I'm not sure how. And then I guess just to stop Kubla Krause from then just rebuilding all of his knights, Jack then renounces his humanity in order to freeze the castle over.
Yeah, but also he has to convince Father Winter to make it winter for as long as possible. And this is where the groundhog comes back into play, because Father Winter explains the concept of Groundhog Day to him. And if the groundhog is...
Which, again, it's just so fucking overly convoluted. It's like, well, you see, my boss is Mother Nature, and she has... And you got to talk to the guy in the spring department. You got to talk to the groundhog, see if the groundhog will sign off on it.
Yeah, it's... going to one department to talk to the other department. It's like, why can't I just send a direct email, you know?
Yeah, it's like when I worked at that fucking phone company doing like the call center shit, I fucking hate that. Don't ever work at a call center if you can avoid it. I would honestly recommend a life of crime over working in a call center.
Yeah.
But like, they wanted us to like if we had a question for somebody, email our lead, who would email their manager, who would email a different manager, who would email that lead, who would email that person. When it's like, they're literally sitting three aisles over. Why can't I just go fucking ask them?
Uh-huh. Yeah. When I worked at a company that graded test papers for schools, and that was basically exactly how it worked, except we were all in the same room and we could all see each other. So like, I could walk and get up and go to the head of the department and ask him a question. But no, you're right. I had to give it to my team lead, who had to give it to his team lead, who had to give it to the senior manager, who had to give it to the head manager. And the head manager would just come directly to me and answer the question anyway. So...
Yeah,
you have to send it all the way up the food chain to get a direct answer from the top of the food chain. And even then, sometimes not really. But so Jack Frost, his final play is to convince the groundhog that there will be six more weeks of winter by basically scaring him as his shadow.
Well, the reason he does this is he's like, okay, so he kicks Kubla Krause out of his house with the help of Father Winter. Sure. And he's like, okay, so I have a bag of gold, I have a horse, I have a house, I just need to find a wife. Oh, literally the only woman I know is Elisa, so might as well just get married to her. Meanwhile, she's already decided she's getting Sir Ravenel, and at the first sight of spring, yes. And so Jack is like, okay, I just have to make sure it's never spring.
Right, so he has to delay it for as long as possible, which apparently is only 6 weeks.
Yes, which he does by scaring the groundhog. It's basically they managed to pretty much run a con on Mother Nature for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because then he goes back and Father Winter's like, okay, she's pretty certain it should have been spring by now, so we can't keep doing this, Jack. And so Jack agrees, and he just goes down and just kind of like, he realizes that he can't really jump into the wedding and interfere because while Elisa does love Jack Frost, she doesn't give a shit about Jack Snip.
Right.
Who he is as a human. And so he's like, oh, well, guess I'll never fuck.
I guess I'm destined for a life of servitude under my Lord and Savior, Father Winter. Womp, womp. But also, Jack Snip was not the one who saved her life at the beginning of this cartoon. It was Jack Frost, so... what the hell is Jack Snip going to do?
Yeah, and the person who saved her from Kubla Kraus was Sir Ravenel. So Jack Snip's done jack shit.
Yeah, he's jack shit. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I don't know. Okay, so that's just the end of the Jack Frost thing. We're done with it. I'm done with it. Jesus.
Yeah, and basically the moral of the story is that now Jack Frost and, pardon me, Pete, the groundhog, are in cahoots because Jack gets to keep it spring or winter for a little while longer so he can keep fucking with people, and the groundhog just gets to hit the snooze button, basically.
Honestly, that's a pretty good grift, if you ask me. Like, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the crazy person who lives down in the South and likes snow, and I don't mind it because I know how to drive. A, I know how to drive in it, and B, I actually enjoy it. So every little inch that winter will give me of like snow and ice, I will take. And the longer that, you know, as time goes on and as, you know, global warming becomes like an inevitability, I will cling to every, you know, small morsel of winter I can get. And I have to wonder if like there is a Jack Frost story out there about that specifically.
Yeah, this last snowstorm was a joke, by the way. I left home like 5 minutes early thinking like, oh, I should give myself a little extra time. I still got to work 5 minutes earlier than I normally do.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't take me any more time at all. And yet, schools were canceled.
Yeah, the schools around here cancel at even the suggestion of snow. Like, if snow is actually, like, in the air and on the ground, oh, the kids are going home. But if you just say the word snow to, like, the right teacher, like, it just starts to shut everything down.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I've heard for that is because if they can't get the school buses back to every single, like, hoot and holler, they're not going to run
at all, you know? And that makes sense, and I get that, but it's just like you get the sense that they do kind of go overboard with it in the name of, you know, safety, which is fine and good.
Well, it's because they know around here half the people will be like, oh, it's snowing, I better drive 15 miles an hour on the interstate, and the other half of the people are like, oh, it's snowing, I better drive super fast so I can get to the snow faster. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other, like, small handful of people who will say, oh, it's snowing, I'm not leaving the house for 3 days.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to snow in 2 days? I better go out to the store and buy 6 loaves of bread and 3 gallons of milk that I'm never going to eat. Yes. That's the other thing, too, man. I've had this idea in my head for years that big weather is colluding with big milk and big bread to sell more milk and bread by making snow a thing.
Yeah, it's a running joke around here that, oh, it's gonna snow, better buy all of the bread, milk, and eggs I can find, and then people actually fucking do it anyway.
Yeah, it happens like clockwork. So every time we get like even the suggestion of snow around here, I have to think like, okay, so some you know, bread company, some milk company is running at a deficit this quarter and they need to goose their numbers. So let's just put the idea out there that it might snow next week, and maybe we'll, you know, sell a few extra loaves of bread. That's a conspiracy that it only exists in my head because I'm a crazy person. But I believe it. It's more believable than most of the shit I've heard lately. Fucking Mayor Pete might win the presidency. No, he won't. I believe the bread conspiracy more than I believe in Mayor Pete.
Yeah, Mayor Pete did the bread conspiracy.
The white bread conspiracy.
Yeah, he fixed the bread prices.
Yeah, I believe it. Now I believe that too. Hey, John, let's talk about the crankometer real quick, because that's the kind of thing we do on this show.
Sure.
Let's go over to the crankometer where we score these things that we watch on an X and Y axis, where the X axis is how Christmassy the thing is, and the Y axis is the quality quotient, how good the thing is. So I guess the X axis, I'm not going to say how Christmassy this is because it's really not, but how wintry, I don't know. Should we do that? Should we amend the X axis to be the winter quotient?
Maybe the x-axis should just be fuck you, Mayo Pete.
Oh, so then this is definitely like a nat 5 in that case.
Yes.
We can't do this. I mean,
all right, we'll give it a 0, no, because okay. It doesn't really do anything with Christmas, and Imagination Christmas is really fucking stupid, but it's relatively harmless at the same time.
Yeah, like it's regrettable.
It does tie into the idea that, like, the spirit of Christmas is giving and, like, being with people you like. The spirit of Christmas is not, like, what did I get? Which I'll allow.
Thank you
it.
For pulling us out of our, like, cynical nosedive right there at the end. Yeah, like, it's... the Imagination Christmas is fine, and, like, I don't really begrudge the scene. It's just, like, when you think about these things the way we do, like, it's a complete machination on their part that they're just generating this awfulness on purpose, and that's terrible. But, like, it's harmless in and of itself, and that's fine. So I'm willing to give it points for that, but there's really no reason this had to be a Christmas anything. This should have been a Groundhog Day special, and it's not.
Yes,
and that is at the feet of Rankin and Bass completely. So, one. It's what do we want to give this? 0.
I'm going to give it 0.
Okay,
yes,
that's fine with me. It's a perfectly cromulent number. And then the y-axis. How good was this thing? I'm going to go ahead and just say it. I really like Kubla Kraus as a character, but other than that, I was not feeling this one at all.
Yeah,
partly because, like, we didn't get nearly enough Kubla Kraus.
Yeah, parts of it were, like, aggressively bad, most of it was just a big old fat nothing. So
yeah, I mean, it's.
I mean, I want to give it like a -2, maybe.
Maybe, but then I want to at least reward it a point for Kubla Kraus just as like a character design.
Oh, I'm already factoring that in.
Oh
yeah.
Shit! Okay, well, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, it has to be -1 because it sucks. I'm going to give it -2 points for like winter gypsies or snow gypsies or whatever, and then give it 1 point again for Kubla Kraus.
So down to a -3, but back up to a -2 is what you're saying.
Yes,
That's your math. Yeah, I'm amenable to that. Like it's okay. Like it's tolerable, but it's not anything any great shakes. You know, like it's not the original Rudolph. It's not even in like the top 10 like animated Christmas specials I would put on during the holiday season.
Yeah, like to use the stocking for metric. No, I would not put this on during a Christmas party. People will be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah,
bullshit?
What are you doing to us, and why? And should we be worried about this? And you, and the answer is yes. So yeah, I think a negative score would be fine. So let's go with a 0, -2 on our crankometer for the Rankin Bass Jack Frost. Now I'm looking at my list here, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other Jack Frosts we could potentially talk about at some point. Because there's a 10-minute short film from Ub Iwerks from 1934, which I watched for this, and it's even more of a nothing about Jack Frost than this was. It's okay. Then there's a Russian film from 1964 that was featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000. That's a potential, I guess. Then, of course, there's the Michael Keaton one we talked about. The Santa Claus Part 3 features Jack Frost as the main villain. He's played by Martin Short, and I've seen that film, and I hate its guts. So, which means it might actually make for pretty good Christmas creeps fodder. And then, of course, there's Rise of the Guardians, which we could do literally at any time because it's the movie about Santa Claus and Jack Frost and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and
and a bunch of owls, right?
Probably, yeah. Rise of the Guardians of Gahul, yeah, exactly. You know, the strangest thing about the cartoon owl movie is that it was directed by Zack Snyder. Like, that was apparently something he really cared about in 2012. Or no, 2010, I guess.
Dear God. Oh, man. All I will say is, I will only watch the Michael Keaton Jack Frost if Michael Keaton personally Venmos me $10 and I'm not telling him what my Venmo is. That's part of the challenge.
So, listeners out there, you have your homework. If you know Michael Keaton, if you know Michael Keaton and us, get in touch with me and I will see what I can do about getting you John's Venmo account so that you can send it all along to Michael Keaton. That's your wacky Carmen Sandiego-esque assignment this week. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of Christmas Creeps. So if you want to email us anything like listener feedback or recommendations for things that we probably will do at some point, you can email those to us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. You can tweet at us all of that stuff too at Christmas Creeps on Twitter. God, I forgot our handle for a second there. Go to iTunes or your pod listener of choice. You know, we're on Player FM, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play. I think Google has a new podcast thing out that I need to check into. But go on there on those things and give us, you know, likes and comments and all that fun stuff. And let's see, I guess that's it. I guess that does it for this episode. John, is there anything we're forgetting or I'm missing or you just want to say out and put out into the world?
I mean, other than Michael Keaton, give me $10. No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm good too. I think that's going to have to do it for Christmas Creeps. We've got some ideas in place because episode 100 is coming up quick and we'll be working on those. And hopefully, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll have Brad back before too long. Brad, if you're listening, I'm putting that out there as a direct challenge to you. So... for Christmas Creeps, I am Joseph Wade.
I'm Johnny Five, the human robot.
And that's the rub.
Gross. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.